Mark chapter 14 is where we're going to be. Mark chapter 14. I did kind of go back and forth on whether or not to try to teach this evening on a Christmas message. And obviously, we've covered that subject for the past couple of weeks. We'll have another sermon on Sunday relating to Christmas. And so what I want to do, I want to bring a thought to you this evening on the life of Christ. Not just his birth, but his life and how he lived his life here on the earth. Mark in chapter 14 and in verse 43, the Bible says, "And immediately while he spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. One of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords, with staves, to take me? I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to be here together. We thank you for all that you've done and for who and what you are. And we just pray this evening that you'd watch over us, give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Forgive us where we have failed you, I pray. And just ask you tonight, Lord, to be with us. Lord, bear with us, dear God, as we begin to peel back your scriptures and look at the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how he acted and reacted toward people and those that are around him, Father. So we pray tonight, Lord, that we would lift up the name of Christ, that we would exalt the Holy Scriptures above our own lives, above our own thoughts, above our own even understanding, dear God. So, Father, we love you and thank you in Jesus Christ's glorious name. Amen and amen. So the sermon tonight is not so much about the betrayal and arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather it's about the statement that he made as he was being arrested. He said, "I was daily with you in the temple teaching." Now, we understand what he's referring to. We understand that he was in the temple teaching about the law, teaching about the word of God, teaching about how people should live and act, and the Messiah that was going to come, the kingdom that was going to be instituted. We understand the doctrinal application of what Jesus was doing in the temple each day. But I find it interesting when you begin to look at these words. He says, I was daily with you in the temple teaching. Daily, the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching. We find the apostles in the early church in Acts chapter 5, verse 42. The Bible says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ." And these two little words, daily and teaching, they just kind of struck a chord within my heart. They kind of strike an impression upon me. Because when you begin to hear them together, they seem to resonate inside with one another, inside your heart and your mind, as a continual reminder of what you and I have a responsibility to do in this life. We want to call ourselves Christians. And I've said this from day one. I believe that word is thrown around very flippantly today. I believe it's thrown around, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. I mean, again, guys, just because a person went to church or went to Sunday school doesn't make him a Christian. But I do believe it's used fairly flippantly in the world today. So when you begin to look at what Christ did and how Christ lived and how his disciples lived, these two words come together, daily teaching. What things do you suppose that Christ and the early Christians taught on a daily basis? I mean, it leads me into a thought process of what you and I should be teaching in our life on a daily basis, on our lifestyle on a daily basis, every single day, and how we can conduct ourselves, what we do when we are behind closed doors, what we do when we are in the workplace, what we do when we're in the shopping centers, what we do when we walk down the pavement. I mean, you know, even this, and I know that I get convicted of it. I'm convicted of it almost on a daily basis, even in how we drive. I get irritated on the roads. I think everybody gets irritated on the roads. I get irritated on the way over here. Both times today I got irritated because of the traffic. And I get that, but it just still convicts me when I stop and I think, you know, how the Lord Jesus Christ would react and how he would act and what he was teaching daily in his own life. Now, I understand Acts 5:42. that daily they were in every house, and he ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were teaching the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were teaching salvation by grace through faith. They were teaching the eternal Messiah who came, the Son of God, who came to sacrifice His life and pay for our sins, the atonement of our souls. That's what they're teaching. So I don't want to whitewash or water down, if you will, what the disciples were teaching. They were teaching cold, hard doctrine. However, they were limited in a lot of the doctrine that they were teaching by Acts chapter 5. Because that which is perfect had not come yet. Okay? The Apostle Paul said that when that which is perfect has come. Right now he says we see through a glass darkly, but when that which is perfect has come, okay, then we'll be known as we are known. What is that which is perfect? It's completed work. The completed Word of God. The completed Word of God was not finished until at least 96 A.D. with the writing of the book of Revelation by John, the Apostle John. So I'm saying all that to say this. We can know inside of our lives that there is other things that the disciples were teaching. We know for a fact that what Jesus Christ taught in His life and how He lived and how He acted. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but just by looking, if you think about Acts chapter 11, the word Christian only shows up in the Bible twice in the book of Acts and once in one of Peter's epistles. As a matter of fact, the reference that Peter makes is suffering as a Christian. All right? The disciples, those that were students and disciplined in the ways of Christ, were first called Christians in Antioch when Paul and Barnabas were there for a year, assembling themselves together, teaching the people. Why do you suppose they were called Christians? When we have a world today, like when we have somebody who follows someone in the world, that we slap this little phrase at the end, "ites." You know, you have different camps in the world today. Among the Independent Baptists, you got a Howellsite, and you have a Ruckmanite, and you got some other type of "ite." I'm not an "ite" of any kind, unless I'm a Christite. I'm not following a man. I'm not setting a man up on a pedestal. I'm not adhering to a man's doctrine. I'm adhering to the Word of God, plainly given and inspired by God Himself and preserved in the manner that He has seen fit, according to fulfilling of His Scripture, Psalm chapter 12. Saying all that, guys, to say this tonight. If Jesus Christ taught daily, if the early disciples taught daily the ways of Jesus Christ, if Paul and Barnabas nestled down and got in there in Antioch, where they were first called Christians, and he taught them for a year, what was he teaching? He was teaching the ways of Christ, and the world said, man, they're Christians. Look at that. They're Christ-like. They're Christites. What were they teaching? I'll ask this question to you. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16 with me real quick. I mentioned to you that we're going to turn just a little bit this evening. It leads me into this thought process. It leads me into the idea that we should be teaching in our life, in our lifestyle, in our everyday living, in our actions, a few things I believe that Christ did in His action, in His words, in His deeds, as well as the early Christians. What about this tonight? What about thoughtfulness? What about thoughtfulness? Look at Acts chapter 16. Look in verse 26 with me. Verse 26. Acts 16, verse 26, the Bible says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway." Now, how much thoughtfulness do you think it took for the Apostle Paul, number one, him and Silas, being falsely accused, bludgeoned and beaten, opened wounds, locked down in the center of the prison, and then all the other prisoners in there, Paul and Silas, you know, were singing out the praises, and then all the doors just break loose because of an earthquake, and yet they all remain. And here's this rough and hardened jailer. Took out his sword. Said, he said, my life, I'm gone. They're going to kill me now that the prisoners have fled. And he's going to follow himself. Yet the Apostle Paul said, do yourself no harm. How much thoughtfulness do we show in our daily lives to those that are around us? Think about this just for a second. It's not how much we know that counts, but it's how much we show that makes a difference in people's life. We can lift ourselves up and exalt ourselves up by exercising our knowledge to people, but people really don't care about our knowledge. They really are concerned with how much we care about them and how that we can take that knowledge and benefit their life. Jesus Christ was daily teaching everywhere he went. The apostles were daily teaching everywhere they went. And in our lives, we are to be daily teaching every single day those that are around us of that which we believe. Some will teach neglect in their life, while others will teach that of dedication and commitment. Some will teach negativity, while others in their life will teach perseverance and pursuit. Some will teach nervousness in the life, while others will teach faith and trust in the Lord. This Philippian jailer here is a prime example. He's getting ready to kill himself, yet Paul shared the love of the Lord Jesus Christ with him, and he was saved and his entire house. And immediately, the very same night, he began to exercise Christian faith, Christian traits of thoughtfulness toward Paul and Silas by bringing them into his own house and cleansing their strife. What he saw in Paul and Silas, he began to exercise himself immediately. You know what that's called? It's called a conversion. Because of one person's thoughtfulness, he was able to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That person was saved and born again and was converted unto Christ and immediately began to exercise exactly what he saw in the person that brought him to Jesus Christ. Conversion, repentance we see in this man. Think about what the jailer's family saw that night. He saw a man rough and tough, full of anger and despite, cry, fall to his knees and ask the question, what must I do to be saved? And there's no better question than that one right there. Where did this conviction come from? Where was this conviction come from in his life that night? Well, he thrust Paul and Silas in there, chained them down to the floor after they were falsely accused and after they were beaten. And then about midnight, what does he start doing? They start singing Amazing Grace. They start singing Sweet Hour of Prayer. I think of it like this. I jotted these notes down, this little part here. This is what I think that old jailer heard. I believe old Paul and Silas, and I'm being a little bit funny here, but he was singing Sweet Hour of Prayer. And you know what I imagine that jailer said? My soul, what an hour. A whole hour of praying? They're singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that jailer said in his heart, I'm a wretch. Hey, they're singing Great Peace have they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them. And the jailer says, nothing shall offend them. They're singing in there, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And that jailer said, I have to have that. I need that. Whatever it is, I've got to have that in my life. When that earthquake happened and that jailer ran in and those doors were broken open, he had assumed that everybody was gone. Him and his own life. He said, I'm too late. Paul belted out, glory, I am saved, glory, I am saved. And that old jailer heard it and says, what must I do to be saved? You see, it was just a little bit of thoughtfulness that went a long way. It's just a little bit of thoughtfulness that went inside this jailer's life. Someone that Paul and Silas could have said, hey, go ahead and drop yourself on the sword, you deserve that. I think it was... It was Mom that was telling the story today. One that she read on Facebook. A guy had went to the cash point machine and found $500. This is in the States. $500 sitting out on the cash point machine. And he grabbed it and went inside the bank and tried to tell one of the tellers, listen, I found $500 out here. And is there any way you can find out who's this is? They said, no, there's nothing we can do with it. Went to another teller and got the same story. Finally, he was in hot pursuit, if you will, and went to one of the higher-ups inside the bank, and reluctantly, they finally gave in. He said, listen, I don't know whose it is, but maybe they really need this money, and can you go on your computer system and find out who used that ATM, that cash point, before I did? And finally, reluctantly, they did it. And then they didn't even want to call the person who it was, but somehow, for some reason, gave him the details. And so he phoned the lady up, and it was a 90-plus-year-old lady who took that money out to pay her rent, and she had $20 left to her name. $20. He showed up there at the apartment to give her her money back, and she tried to give him the last $20 that she had had as a reward. He says, no way. And he had looked around her apartment and knew she didn't have much food. Apparently, he went and loaded her up with a month's worth of food and loaded her kitchen up. And then people at his workplace began to hear about the story. And they all took money up, and they all took a collection up to help this. I think she was 92, 94 years old that went through this. Now, guys, think about this just for a second. Put yourself in that situation. What would you have done? 500 pounds sitting out there on the cash point, free money. Even try to do the right thing 2 and 3 times, and people said, look, there's nothing we can do about it, just take it. A little bit of thought, but this lady had nothing. She had $20 left. She had about 15 pounds left, is what it was converted down to, 16 maybe. Think about it. A little bit of thoughtfulness, guys, goes a long way. It goes a long way in the eyes of man, and it goes a long way in the eyes of God. It's amazing today. It's amazing to see what happens in the world today in our life because people just simply aren't thoughtful. That's all it is. Do you know how much effort it takes to be thoughtful? You know how much knowledge, how many degrees it takes? You know how much strength? How much courage? Zero. It may cost you a little bit of time. It may even cost you a little bit of humility, but I'll tell you what, humility is a pretty good thing. It may cost you something, but what you'll gain out of being just thoughtful to one person is so much more than you'll ever lose. So, you know, we know the rest of the story with the jailer. We know the story of what happens. But guys, I can tell you tonight that Paul was teaching thoughtfulness in his life as a Christian, which made the difference in his life and his eternity. Secondly, our thoughtfulness does something else. Turn over to 1 Peter with me. Are you guys hot? We need to turn that heater off. Huh? Don't be flipping. Look at 2 Peter. I may have said 1 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3. Our thoughtfulness, guys, reveals our testimony. It reveals what we really believe and who we are. 2 Peter in chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is what the Bible says. Let me see where I am. 2 Peter chapter 3. And look in verse 8 with me. 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing that one... One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. You know, guys, it's not only our words that show forth the hope that lieth within us, but it's our life. It's not only that which we may preach and repeat to people and what we tell to people. And guys, you know I'm a huge fan of passing out tracts. But it's not even in the letters that we pass out. And it's not even in the words that we use. But it's the life that we live. The way we address people in given situations. We should always be mindful of those that are around us. How we respond to someone. Now, I understand there comes a time when a firm hand must be given. I believe you me. I understand there is a time when that has to happen, that you have to stand your ground. Christians in the world today, we need to stand. We need to stand up for what is right. But you know what? Standing up for what is right doesn't mean that you got to be nasty. All right. Matter of fact, quite the contrary. There are some today who like to stand on their soapbox and stand on their mountain. They're really their molehill. They've mounted a mountain out, and they think it makes them look more spiritual. It makes them look foolish. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all the longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." Again, it's not how much we know that matters, but it's what we show that counts in the long run. Paul taught Timothy to teach daily that which he had learned from him. The Lord Jesus Christ was long-suffering to us, for He was long-suffering in His life. He was long-suffering in everything that He did, and He had wonderful and blessed and mighty mercy, but yet also affection toward us in this life. And therefore, He ushered in eternal life to each and every one that would believe in Him. Guys, we are to be living a glorious example of who and what Jesus Christ is and what He is in our life, no matter where we are. The temptations of this world, the persuasions, the peer pressure, all the things that people lock into the world they live in today, if they're not careful, they'll lose that testimony. And it can take 20, 25 years to build a proper, biblical, godly Christian testimony in 20 seconds to lose it. Paul said in Titus chapter 2, he said, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works." A pattern of good works. Guys, a pattern of good works is not something that you do once or twice here or there when you feel good. You know, a pattern of good works is just that. It's laying out a pattern. We all know people that are up and then they're down, then they're up and then they're down, then they're up and then they're down. That's not a pattern. That's confusing to the world. That's not a picture of Christ. Christ is consistent in that which He has done and that which He does. Our life should be earmarked by a pattern, something that is laid out. Matter of fact, if you hear something contrary to ourselves and who and what we stand for, you know what the first thought should be? Nope, I know him. Nope, I know her. They wouldn't do something like that. That's a pattern of good works. He goes on to say, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." That's a pattern of good work. In our life daily, we should be teaching thoughtfulness. It should reveal our true testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly tonight, if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I know it's a different turn. It's more of a topical sermon tonight, which I'm not accustomed to teaching, but nevertheless, we should be teaching daily thoughtfulness. It should reveal our testimony of who and what Christ is in our life, both eternally and temporally. And lastly tonight, we should be exercising in our days thankfulness. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, very simple verse. Paul writes into the Thessalonians, and he says here, he goes, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Paul says that it is the will of God concerning us. Concerning us as believing Bible-believing Christians today, that we give thanks for everything. In verse 19, he says, "Quench not the Spirit." Suffice it to say that an unthankful Christian, an unthankful believer, if you will, quenches the Holy Spirit of God. A Christian, a guy or a gal that believes in Jesus Christ, that are truly and soundly and surely saved and on their way to heaven, when they do not exercise gratitude, or they exercise ingratitude, it's like taking a wet blanket on a fire and dampening it out. Holy Spirit doesn't depart, doesn't leave, but it quenches the fire of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. We wonder why so many so-called Christians today they don't grow. They never leave the point that they got 10 years ago. They're just stuck right there. It's because they're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. They're quenching that Holy Spirit inside of them. I personally am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I got to say, this may have just hit me yesterday on the way on the road, but I believe the closer we get to the Lord and the more the more influence and the more access of the Holy Spirit of God that we exercise from within, the more control that we give Him, the more we render our lives over to His use, the less concerned about ourselves we become. And the lives of others becomes more important than our own life itself. That's thanksgiving. That's thankfulness. You see, we have these things in our life. We have the ability to be able to exercise faith in the midst of freedom, to function in a free society, to do that which some people tonight are meeting in venues much different than ours. We're up here in the library this morning, or this evening. Sunday morning, by God's grace, we'll be in the chapel. Sunday night, we'll be in the chapel at the candlelight service. But you know what? Friday night, we're going to have our candlelight service in the rugby club. And there's some people that give that want to give a little bit of heat and be cheeky about that right there. But you know what? I'm going to say this to them, and I say this to us. I like how we're doing something rather than better than the way somebody else is not doing it. Okay? So all of those of the contrary part who like to run the mouth while they're sitting on their recliner, using the remote and drinking coffee and tea, I like how we're doing it better than they're not doing it. So guys, here's what I'm saying. Be thankful for what God's given you. I'm thankful we're in a room in here tonight. I'm thankful that we actually got to say, whew, it's getting warm in here.
Yeah.
I'm thankful we're not under a tree this evening, amen. But guys, every day we have to exercise thoughtfulness toward others. How are my words going to affect that person for their relationship or future relationship for Christ? Paul realized that. Paul realized when he was falsely accused. Paul realized when he was falsely beaten. He realized when he was falsely arrested and falsely incarcerated that everything that he did was going to have an effect on how someone else viewed Jesus Christ. He took it humbly. He praised God. He sang those hymns. And that entire jailhouse was locked up into them. Not one prisoner left. He said, we are all here. And that jailer came in and said, what must I do to be saved? He knew that. The testimony that Peter gives us shows what we need to reveal in our life. That of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are looking forward to the blessed hope, but we're not looking beyond the days that God has given us here yet, right now. And in our days, guys, we need to be thankful for what the Lord has given us. He's given us life. I saw a quote earlier. It was a quote on a Florida State page. And it said, dear God, I woke up this morning. I can breathe. I'm living. I can walk. And I have food to eat. Thank you. Let us be thankful in that which the Lord has given us. Let it be revealed in our testimony. And let us exercise thoughtfulness into the lives of those around us. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity again this evening. We thank you forever, Lord, for all that you've given us and how many blessings you've bestowed each and every one of us. And we pray that you would bless us as we go into our prayer meeting tonight. Lord, I pray that you take your words this evening. Help us in our days teach daily, every single day. Help us teach, dear Lord, the right ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us be a living testimony and example unto the Son of God, unto our Savior. Help our testimony reveal, dear Lord, what we think and what we know of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And help it be utilized, Father, to bring souls unto you. So, Father, we praise your name tonight. We thank you, dear God, for all that you've given us. And we ask this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.